If you've got your Bibles this morning, open up to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. You'll notice the scripture that is basically the foundation for this church is 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 11. And in effect, what Paul's saying is we can only build on one foundation, and that's Jesus. Amen? We can't build on another foundation. So there's been a foundation laid. We now have to build on that foundation. There is no other foundation. Any foundation outside of Jesus is shifting sand. Amen? So this church was founded on the foundation of Jesus. Amen. Aren't you glad about that?
Yes.
Aren't you glad it's not founded on me?
Yes.
God help us. Serious. Aren't you glad it's not founded on some agenda of man and some religious ideology? Shifting sand, people. Here today, gone tomorrow. But who's eternal?
Jesus.
He's eternal because his word's eternal. And Jesus Christ is the word of God. So go with me to Matthew chapter 16. And I want to read from verse 13. Matthew 16, 13 says this. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, that's the first question he asks. Sometimes you can read this and miss the fact that he actually asked two questions. That's the first one. He goes on, and they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then he said to them, second question, "But who do you say that I am?" So, first question is, what do men say? And then he parks that. You notice? He parks it. And I'll tell you why. It's not relevant. Did you know it's not relevant what men think? Doesn't matter what man thinks about God. It doesn't matter if man thinks that he doesn't exist. He does. It doesn't matter whether man thinks he's not coming back. He is. So he asks the first question, "Who do men say that I am?" Then he puts it to his side and he says, "Now, real question, what do you think? Who do you say that I am?" Let's have a look at his response. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, you've got to understand something about Simon Peter. He was a roughneck, fisherman, probably had a foul mouth and didn't mind, you know, cracking a few jokes. But he was also a man hard after Jesus. But, you know, his mouth often got in the way. But on this occasion, Peter is not speaking from a natural understanding. He received something by the Spirit of God, because we're about to learn this from Jesus. And Jesus says this, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven." What's he saying here? You didn't get that in your head. That came out of your spirit. Now that's revelation knowledge. Now I want you to see the connection to building the church on that very point. Because you often hear, well, you know, Peter's the rock, the church. No, Peter's not the rock. It's the revelation that Peter got is the rock that builds the church. Because he says this, "And I say unto you," verse 18, "you are Peter, upon this rock." What's he referring to? What's he referring to? He says, "upon this rock." Well, he just said, context, flesh and blood hasn't revealed it to you, but my Father in heaven, that's the rock. The rock is revelation knowledge. He says, on this rock, I will build my church. Who will build it? Jesus. And he's going to build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know what that word "it" means? The one he builds. I try to build a church, there's no guarantee that the devil isn't going to come and have a crack. But if the church is built on revelation knowledge, this If the church is built on revelation knowledge, the gates of hell cannot come against it. That's the church that we must build. Do you understand that? You see that? So the rock is revealed knowledge. That's why we have to teach the word. Because the only way you're going to get the revealed knowledge is by the word, and the Spirit quickens the word. See, you have two types of word in Scripture. You have logos, which is the written word, and you have rhema, which is the revealed word. So when you're reading the book, that's the logos word in the Greek. And when God quickens your spirit, how many of you have been reading Scripture and you go, whoa, I just got something? That's rhema. That's revealed knowledge. You're blessed if you get that. Can everyone get it? Absolutely. If you spend time in the Word with God, He'll quicken the Word to you. So that's the revealed Word. That's the thing that builds the church. Okay, so we've got to get that foundation right. So the vision of this church is to build the church on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And we've got to use the Word of God to do that. Any questions on that point? Because this is going to be a bit interactive today. No questions. What a good class. All right. So we move on. So very good. Because, I mean, you know, if you're part of this church, you want to be a part of this vision. You want to embrace this vision. So next. So what's our mission? You've got to have a mission. If you haven't got a mission, how do you know you've got to the end of the journey? Well, it's a pretty clear one. And this is our mission. We want to help people find the way, receive the truth, and live the life in Jesus. That's 14:6, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through who? Jesus. This idea that there are many ways to God, can I say two things on that? Firstly, it's a lie, and secondly, it's demonic. There are not many ways to God. If there are many ways to God, Jesus is irrelevant. He's not irrelevant. There was only ever one that claimed to be the Son of the living God, and there was only ever one that claimed to go to the cross of Calvary and die for your and my sins. No one else who claims to be a God or a religious figure ever did that for humanity. So, question, is he the way? Is he the truth? And is he the life? If the answer to that is yes and amen, which it should be, because all the word is yes and amen, then you're in a really good place to go forward. If you doubt that he's the way, if you doubt that he's the truth, and if you struggle with the life in him, you're never going to get past base one in your Christianity. Let me say this. Stop meditating on your dead past. You got to stop it. It's gone. You can't go forward and help humanity if you're navel-gazing your past, because it's gone. Because of this, it's gone. Doesn't mean the enemy doesn't want to bring it back into here, but it's gone. So a lot of wasted energy in Christianity because we're thinking about something that has been wiped clean. What? You know, don't look at your sin nature and think that you've got a big line across it on a whiteboard. That's not what God did. When God sent his son Jesus, he wiped it. He erased the hard drive. There's nothing on it. Unless you're keeping a copy of the disc. But the hard drive's been wiped. Have you got a copy? You need to toss it. Because it's not relevant. It's only a copy. That's the old mind. That's why we've got to renew it. How do you renew the mind? The Word of God. This renews the mind. But we'll come back to that. All right, so the Word says, and you can make note of these scriptures. I'm not going to turn to everyone. There is a way that seems right unto a man. But what does the proverb say? But the end thereof are the ways of death. Think about your life before you came to Jesus. There was a lot of things that we did that we thought, that's pretty cool. Not a bad way, this, you know, I'm doing all right. Deception. See, there are ways that we think are okay. There are people living today thinking, you know what, I'm an okay person. That's nice, but you'll never see Jesus and God just on okay. You're not going to get to heaven because you're an okay person. You're not going to get to heaven because I do a few good things. You know, I give a little bit on the, you know, to the Red Cross and I'm all right. You know, I'm not going out committing crimes. You know what? That's sad. That idea that we're okay because there's a way that seems right. It seems right, but it leads to death. Now, I'll tell you what that means. It means both physical and spiritual, because if we're not connected to the life giver himself, we're separated from God spiritually. That's spiritual death. Spiritual death is simply God here, man here, and we're separated. But when we come into a relationship with Jesus, we're reconnected. And then we suddenly see things differently. We have a recreated spirit on the inside, and now we're connected to life. The reason why we have life is because we're connected to life himself. So our mission is to help people find the way. That's number one. And then when they find the way, we help them receive the truth. So they come into church and they start receiving the truth. I tell you right now, you know what blesses my heart more than anything is when people come into an amazing relationship with God, they see truth and they change because truth starts manifesting in their life. Amen. All right. Now, what are our values? You think, oh, you know, this sounds all very sort of corporate-y. No, we've got to have some values in this church. I mean, what are we long enough? If you want to be a part of what we're doing, it might be a good idea to know, well, what do we see as important? Well, let me tell you some of the things that are really important. God is our only source, people. If you're looking for a church that's relying on something outside of God, you need to go, because I can't help you. God is our only source in this church. And I'll tell you why, because in 5 years' time, it'll be dead if he's not. And it won't exist. Or if it does, everyone in it will be dead spiritually. God is our only source. We walk in love. We've got to walk in love. And I'm not saying that we don't miss it, but we're going to have to learn to exercise the love walk. I can't walk your love walk. You can't walk my love walk. But the Spirit of God will prompt you on the inside how to. He'll prompt you how to. God knows what you need. You know, God tells us, you know, men, love your wives. The Bible doesn't then give you a blow-by-blow description of how to do it, but I'll tell you what, the Spirit of God will. Spirit of God will, when you wake up one morning and he says, make a breakfast, or he says, do this, or he says, put your dirty stuff in the, you know. He'll speak to us. That's how he works, because we're listening on the inside, because we've got the Holy Spirit to guide us. Now, blokes, do we always get it right? No. But you know what? That's all right. We're a work in progress. That's all right. But we walk in love. When someone's in your face, and a few of you people have found out in the last couple of weeks, someone can get in your face about your God and you want to go toe-to-toe with them. That's all right. God likes that. Just don't punch them out. Give them the word. Just whack them with the book. No, seriously. You know, God loves your passion, but you're going to have to do it with love. And you know what? Our fight's spiritual. Amen. Not natural. We walk by faith. We've got to walk by faith. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. We did a whole series on that in the last few months. We've got to walk by faith. This is a faith journey. Do I know what this church is going to look like in 2 months' time? Got no idea. He does. That's all I need to know. Do I know what building we're going to be in down the track? No, but he's got something prepared for us. He's got something. This is beautiful, but it's temporary. Amen? It's temporary. And God's been so gracious to us. But you know what? God's preparing the church for something that's beyond this. And we'll talk about that. The Word of God has first and final authority because the Word's truth. You know, Joshua says, you know, meditate on the word day and night. Do all that's written therein. Then you shall make your way prosperous and then you shall succeed. It is a surefire principle of success in life if you stick with the book. You can't go wrong with the book. Remember, Joshua took the place of Moses. Now, that's big shoes to fill. I'd like to see you step up and say, you know what, boys, I'm here to replace Moses. Yeah, get out of here. You're not Moses. But you know what? Joshua was a faithful man who was alongside Moses for 40 years. 40 years. And then at the end of it, Moses goes home and God says, all right, Joshua, it's your turn to step up to the plate. I'm sure he thought, what? But God said to him, before you go, he says, you know, don't be afraid. Be of good courage. And then he says, meditate on the book. Meditate on my word day and night. And do all that's written according therein. Then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll succeed. You want to be great in business? Read the book. I want to be great in my work? Read the book. You want wisdom from God in how to, you know, raise your kids? Read the book. Don't listen to man's ideas. I'm telling you, they're hellbound. They've got no revelation. That's why we don't seek counsel from ungodly people. The Bible says it in Psalm 1. Don't seek counsel from the ungodly, or don't go in the way of sinners. I'll tell you why. They're in darkness. They don't know truth. They never could, because their heart's not open to receive it yet. And of course, John 17:7 says, his word is truth. Jesus said it, my word is truth. You want truth? That's the word. Your body's sick? That might be a fact. Is it truth? Nah. I'll tell you why. By his stripes ye were healed. That's truth. Fact is, the enemy's trying to take your health. But if you don't understand what your covenant rights are, you succumb to that and you bow your knee to that, and the enemy's going to rip you one way to the next. But when you know who you are in Christ, you'll never let that stuff get into your body. It's got no right to be there. Why do we preach this? I'll tell you right now, Christians are sick and broke and busted. Why is that? When the God of creation is our God and he's the head of everything and he's given us all authority and power, and we walk around like this, broken. Something's wrong, people. I'll tell you what it is. Revelation knowledge, the rock. It's what builds the church. We've got to have it in our lives. Prayer, it's a foundation for everything. Now, I've got to get better at this myself. If I'm going to pastor this church, I've got to be a praying man. Because I'll tell you right now, without prayer, we're not going to get out of the blocks. But with prayer, I tell you, God can do things when you've got prayers on earth. The Berlin Wall came down because of prayer. There was prophecies months before it's going to fall. And in one night, bang, it came down. Because people prayed. Prayer's powerful. Whew, we're taking off. We're going to launch soon. You have a part. You have a part. Firstly, though, you're going to have to rest in grace. We don't want people striving in the church. We want people being led by the Spirit. There's a big difference. You know, it's an interesting thing. You know, I've been in churches over the years, and there's a lot of performance attached to it. The trouble is, though, if it's not Spirit birth, what's the point? It's got to be Spirit led. So we rest in grace first. We serve from a humble heart. Why do people serve? They serve because they have a desire. We give because we believe in the gospel of God's grace. That's why we give. There's no other reason to give to God other than the fact that you love him for what he's done for you. I tell you what, if you meditate on that just for a minute, you'll be a giver. Whew, you'll be a giver. You don't need someone to twist your arm to give to God. If you just take 5 minutes to think about what he's done for you, you'll give. You'll give. Because you'll be so thankful to the one that sets you free. Amen? Amen? Keep going. God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Think about that. God's gift and God's call on your life can never be withdrawn. It doesn't mean you'll fulfill it. You may not walk it out in your life, but it's always yours. So, if God's put something on your heart, if it's in there, and I'm not saying it's going to manifest tomorrow. It took me 25 years as a Christian before he launched me out into ministry. 25 years, and I'll tell you why, he had a lot of work to do. He still is. Don't be in a rush. Yours may not be 25 years. It might be five. It might be two. It might be, you know what? God knows what he's doing. I mean, God healed a man that was, you know, possessed with demons, and the next thing, he's out preaching the gospel in a place called Decapolis. He said, go and tell everyone what good things God has done for you. Straight away, he's on an evangelistic crusade. He's a demon-possessed man 1 minute, cutting himself. The next minute, he's out sharing the love of God. I tell you what, it's a hard one to deny when you've got someone that used to break chains because he was demonized and now he's in his right mind telling people about a loving God. Do you reckon that might get someone's attention? Come on. Come on. This is a God that we serve. Big God. Powerful God. Praise, not performance. Worship, not works. You know, we should live a life of praise to him. He doesn't want us to perform. So many perform in the kingdom. You know what? All the performance that needed to be done was done by one. And who was that? Jesus. There'll never be another performance like his, and there won't be one that will ever equal it. The only performance the church needed was a son who obeyed his father and went to Calvary's cross. Everything outside of that, meaningless. Unless you believe and obey and take a hold of what that obedience meant for the church. See, because Jesus died for you and me, we don't need to. I'm not saying physically, everyone will physically die and go to be with the Father, but we don't need to be spiritually dead because he died spiritually and was raised up glorious. Because he died spiritually, we don't need to remain spiritually dead any longer. And for those who know Jesus, we've been recreated in our spirit. Amen? So praise, not performance. Worship, not works. Not about works. Not about works. We don't want to be Old Testament theology Christians that apply the law and if we don't get it right, we get a whack. We don't want to be that. We want to be a church that extends the grace of God because he extended it to us. Amen. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a specific function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Now that's Romans chapter 12, verse 4, and that's a New Living Translation. That's where we fit. We're all part of a body. Everyone's got a part in the body. You take one part of the body out, the body's not complete. If one part in the body is not doing what God's gifted and called them to do, the body's not complete. Everyone's got a part. No one who's a Christian is on the outer saying, I'm not relevant. That's a lie. That's the devil whispering. Because God has set in place a body and it's called the church and he likens it to a human body. Well, if I just cut my little finger off, that's going to do me a lot of good. If I take out one eye or rip out an ear, there's a problem because the body needs to be whole. See, what God sees is a church without spot or wrinkle, a glorious church. That's what he sees. Now, we may not see that yet, but that's what God sees. And I'll tell you why. Because what Jesus did at Calvary allowed that to exist. A church without spot or wrinkle. We aren't blemished. We're not broken. We're powerful. If we could just understand what happens in the realm of the spirit when I'm doing this now or when we're praising or you're on your knees in prayer or you're just punching out a scripture to God, if you could see what the demonic realm does, you think, come back for more. I'll give it to you. I'm telling you. We're the head. We're not the tail. We've got all the weapons of war. The devil's got nothing. Why do we need to preach this? Because the enemy's a liar. He gets in your ear and he whispers and he whispers and he whispers and he whispers and he whispers. And you've got the book closed and you're listening to the whispers. What you need to do is open up and say, it is written. Get behind me. And all you hear is gone. How do I know that? Jesus did that. Jesus did that. That's how he dealt with the enemy. He didn't get into talk. He didn't get into discussions. You look in scripture, if you can find me some location where Jesus got into a big long discourse with the devil about things, good luck. He didn't. What he did was say, get. He even said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Yeah, he wasn't talking to Peter. he was talking to a spirit that was trying to influence Peter. Now, this is how God works. He's powerful. All right. Any questions so far? Gee. Amen. The servant heart. Let's have a look at that. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Matthew 20 and 28. See, we serve through desire, not by direction. No one in this church will ever serve by direction. I refuse to do that. If someone in this church just wants to sit and receive, that's fine. That's fine. There may be a season where you need to sit and receive. And that season may be a lengthy one. If you've got a heart and desire to serve the things of God, that's good too. If you've got something pressing on your heart that you'd like to do, you need to raise it up, because that may very well be the Spirit of God leading and guiding you. But we serve through desire, not by direction. Big difference. Passion and gifts are never far apart. Whatever your passion is, you probably find you got a natural gift attached to it. So if your passion is to get up and speak the things of God, you'll probably find that there's a gift to preach and teach. If you've got a real heart for the lost and the destitute, you've probably got that gift of compassion and a giving heart. There's a lot of different gifts in the church. What's your passion? And whatever that passion is, it may be that you've got a real desire to give praise to God and you've got a musical gift. What's your passion? If God's given you gifts, it'll link to your passion, because your passion is going to be your gift. Absolutely. And if people are using their gift, guess what? They're going to be passionate about it. They're going to want to be in the house of God. They're going to want to do these things. Not with a hook in your nose, being dragged. No. Nowhere in Scripture do you find that. You know, when Jesus said, follow me, he didn't wait, he just kept going. Follow me. Those who followed. Those who didn't, how sad, he kept going. You know, this idea that we stop and we start. No. Look at the life of Jesus. Jesus put it out there and he said, we're going this way, boys. And those that went with him, went with him. Those that didn't, he kept going. You know why? He had kingdom business. We've got to be a church like that. Not everyone's going to come to a church like this. Not everyone wants to be under the word like this. If you do, you're going to grow. If you don't, that's okay. But what we don't do is we don't spend time with individuals that don't want this. And you might be, gee, that's not a very pastoral way to express yourself. But it's a Bible way. Because I'm called to preach the gospel. Preaching is proclaiming. Teaching is explaining. There's a difference. So when we teach the word, you bring explanation to the truth. When you preach the word, you don't explain anything. You just declare Jesus is Lord. That's proclamation. Jesus is the Son of the living God. That's a proclamation. But then when you want to understand covenant, or you want to understand spiritual gifts or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we start explaining through teaching of the word. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. Can you see the difference? Yeah. So if somebody doesn't want to sit under the teaching, you know what? I can't help them. I love them, but I can't help them. I move on. I have to move on. Because there's lots to do in the kingdom. If you haven't already, worked it out, the enemy's having a real good crack at this nation. Amen? Amen. But you know what? Let him. That's when the church rises up. That's when the church gets bold and it says, nah, not going to be. Not going to happen. You're not going to have your dirty agenda here, because we've got a nation of believers that are going to encamp around this nation with the spirit realm, the angelic hosts, the forces of good that push back darkness. And that's because the church rises up in days like this. And we're not, quiet or timid or weak, but we say, nah, that's not what the word says. Who cares what the opinion of man is? Who cares? Because if they haven't got the Spirit of God in them, they're never going to believe what you believe. So what does it matter? It doesn't matter. They can't receive it until they're revealed to them by the Spirit of God. They can't receive it. Does that mean that we don't share it because we've got the truth and they haven't? No, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The truth shall set you free. So the reason why we give them the truth is it'll set them free. And you know what? They may not be free the day you speak to them, but that word is now on the inside, bouncing around. It's seed. And then somebody waters it, and somebody else waters it, and somebody else waters it. And some point along the journey, God gives the increase. God gives the increase, and that person's wonderfully and radically transformed. That's how God works. So is it okay to share the truth with people that don't want to hear you? Yes. But as I said, we do it with love and grace. And that's the way God treated us. But he that is great among you shall be your servant. I've found over 40 years in my career, 30 years in leadership, that the higher I go, the more I have to serve. It is an absolute biblical truth. The greatest among us must serve, not be served. But that comes out of a desire. All right, we're getting there. Grace and grace alone. If you stay long enough in this church, you're going to hear about grace. Amen? Well, it's a grace place. Of course you're going to hear about it. The Apostle Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God. Now, this is a man that became one of the greatest, most influential figures in the New Testament church. Paul the Apostle said, I am what I am, but by grace. We are what we are by the grace of God. And it was a word that said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, we all go through times of weakness, amen? True? Well, guess what? That's the time that God's strength is manifest at his greatest. When you're in a weak place, that's when his strength is most revealed in your life. And that's because it's not us, but what he can do through us. So when you're going through a hard place, that's okay. Just say, God, manifest your strength through my weakness. You watch what he does. Rather than trying to find a way to get yourself strong, let God be strong in you. That's what he says. My grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. You don't need anything above grace. It's sufficient for you. For his strength is perfected in your weak place and my weak place. You know, I'm not here to be a strong proclaimer. I'm here to be a weak servant that uses me greatly. That's the plan. So I have to make sure that I'm relying on God and God alone. We can't do this without him. None of us can. But guess what? We're not without him. He never leaves us. He's with us for the long haul. All right. Next part. Are we learning something? Praise God. Believe only. See, our part is to believe and receive. Faith takes hold of what grace has purchased for us. That's what faith does. Don't allow your past to hinder your future. Now, I can't tell you how often that comes up in my spirit in this church. And that's because there needs to be some revelation in the hearts of people regarding this very important issue of past. If you are born again, and I believe in that everyone in this church who's made Jesus Christ their Lord is born again, you don't have a past. Amen. What don't we understand about that? Now, it's important I say this like that because I've got to get this through. You don't have a past, spiritually speaking. You may have a recollection of a past, but as far as God's concerned, it's gone. White, clean, finished, forever. Study the life of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said in one of his writings, I have defrauded no man, I've wronged no man. Paul said, I've wronged no man. This is the same Paul who killed Christians. But that was Saul. Something happened to him and he got changed. So this young man, Saul, who became Paul, and he had this amazing transformation in his life, he was able to declare I've done no man wrong. How can he say that? And I'll tell you why. That old man he had, gone. That old nature, he was once this, it's gone. He's now this. That's what happens when God gets a hold of your life. You can't be the same. When the Spirit of God gets a hold of your inside, your old nature goes. That's called a sin nature. It's removed. It's cut out. It's surgically removed spiritually. That's what happens on the born again experience. Surgically removed. That old sin nature is ripped out and it's replaced with a righteousness nature. So, when we miss it, I didn't say if, when we miss it, are you sinning now out of an old sin nature or a righteousness nature? Well, your sin nature's gone. It's been replaced. But we still miss it sometimes. But you know what? The blood covers continually. You know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, that grace message, it just gives people license to sin. Can I tell you this? There are people sinning without a license.
That's right.
We do that pretty well without a license. You don't need a license to sin. We miss it a lot. This message of grace is what empowers you not to sin. It allows you to stay strong in God when you can't. So, you know, again, it's a devil's lie. Study out the book. Study Galatians and study Romans and, oh my goodness, Philippians, and you'll see the amazing power of grace. Paul preached the gospel of grace. The reason why he preached it is it's the only gospel. It's a gospel of I'm going to make you right. All you have to do is come to me in faith and dare to believe. That's our part, believing and trusting God at his word. And it takes faith to do that. And when that faith is activated, the grace of God flows. That's how it works. Your availability mixed with his ability. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. And of course, that's in John 15, 5. I'm the vine, you're the branch. Without him, what do we do? If we're disconnected from the vine, the fruit's on the branch, isn't it? Doesn't the fruit come off the branch part, not the vine? So if the branch is disconnected from the vine, we can't bear fruit. True? But as long as we're connected to the life giver, the fruit we're going to produce is spiritual and it's life. So your ability and my ability mix with his your availability mix with his ability. So God's ability is always there for us. But are we available? Are we available? Because if you've got availability, God will use you. The ability's there, but if we're available. He doesn't want your ability, he wants your availability. He wants my availability because he's going to give us his ability. One sacrifice for all men, for all sin, for all time. Now, you hear me say that a lot in this church, and I will continue to say it because it's one of the great truths of the gospel. Hebrews 10, 10 to 14. And it's so important to read that from time to time. There was only one sacrifice. When we understand that, when that becomes a rhema word to you, a revelation that there was one sacrifice for all sin, for all men, forever. When you understand that, once you connect, you're on your journey of faith for the rest of your days. And God's with you in the journey. And he'll pick you up when you fall. And he'll pick you up again when you fall. And he'll pick you up again when you fall. And when you fall, he'll pick you up again. And he'll say, keep moving. And when you miss it there, he'll say, keep moving. When your marriage fails there, he'll say, keep moving. When you do something really, really dumb, he'll say, keep moving. Can I say this to you? You know what? You know what his response to Peter was when he denied him three times? He looked at him lovingly. Did that disqualify Peter? No, Peter became one of the great apostles of faith, but he's the one who said, I don't even know him. I don't even know him. He's the same man that said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he got it by revelation, and then when he was pressed because of men, he said, I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know the man. How must that have grieved Jesus' heart? But Jesus had compassion. You know, didn't he say, Peter, I pray that your faith won't fail because Satan wants to sift you as wheat. He knew it was coming, but did it disqualify Peter from becoming a great apostle of faith? No. Our failings don't disqualify us. Our lack of faith in God prevents us going forward. Lack of faith in what he said is what stops us. It doesn't disqualify us. It prevents us walking in the fullness of what he has for us because we won't trust him. Because we're always thinking about what's not working right for us. But what he's saying is, I've done it all. It's okay. Keep going. Acknowledge your faults and your failings. I do, daily. I know it's just me. I know you guys are right, but but we all have challenges in this walk. Why? We're in this natural realm. We're in the earth, but guess what, people? We're not of it. This is not your home. Did you know that? Home is heaven. You're just on a journey now. You're on a bit of a journey between two realms. You're born again and you're on the way to heaven. But while you're there, God's got a bit of a work for you to do because there's people that don't know him. So we're on a journey, but this isn't your home. Don't get too comfortable in this earth realm because you're going to get ripped out of here one day and you're going to be with the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Hello. Don't get too comfortable. Don't make the earthly possessions in life your primary goal. You've got eternal possessions. And your greatest, the greatest possession we have is God. We're his possession, but he's also ours. Amen. So what next? Almost done, people. What next? Well, we need to have faith in God. That's number one. We need to preach the word. Number two, teach the children. Future-proofing the next generation. You know, Isaiah 54:13, our children shall be taught of the Lord and great shall be the peace of our children. Young people need to be taught the scriptures. There's a devil that wants to take a generation of kids out because they've removed this from the schools and it's hardly in some churches, for goodness sake. If this book isn't preached in churches, they're not church. Because church is not a building. It's a body of believers that believe. A body of believers. That's church. The called out ones, the ecclesia. That's what the church is. We're a body of believers. You can meet in a barn. We do. Amen. It doesn't matter where you meet. Under a gum tree. It doesn't matter. If we're together as believers, we're the church. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if two start praying, look out, devil. That's a church. We've got to teach this generation the power of our God. They've got to see it in our lives. They've got to see us on our knees in prayer sometimes, us standing in faith when all looks bad. They've got to see faith in action in our lives. We have to be a testimony to the power and grace and love of God to our children. Raise up preachers of the gospel who will proclaim the word of God with boldness. My heart is to see another generation of people raised up to preach this word of faith. I don't want to see Mickey Mouse preaching. I want the truth proclaimed. So people walk out of here and say, you know what? God's for me. God's on my side. He has my back. God's going to get me over the line. You know, there's a wall of water here and the wall of water there. I've got an Egyptian army behind me, but I'm going through on dry ground. Only God can do that, people. And then when you get through, he closes up the water and drowns an entire military unit. Only God can do that. Only God. Call those things which be not as though they were. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. That's how God speaks. God calls things that be not as if they were. You want your marriage to be strong? Call it in. Thank you, God. Thank you for a strong marriage. Doesn't matter about that blue. Thank you for a strong marriage. Thank you that my partner knows you. I thank you, Father. Call what you want, not what you have. When God spoke, he said, light be, light was. He had to speak it. If he hadn't spoken it, we'd all be in darkness. and he's never taken the word back. And science will tell you that light is still creating itself in every direction. 186,000 miles a second, every direction. It's still creating itself. When did he speak that? How many millennia ago? And we don't think God can fix our little problem? Come on. Come on. There are multiple galaxies that are billions of light years away. Billions. And we don't know anything yet about this amazing God. Calling things that be not as though they were. Do you know why you can do that? I'm going to finish it up shortly. You were created a living, speaking spirit. That's why you and an animal are different. You're a living, speaking spirit. That's why God created you in the God class. You're higher than angels, not lower. You're going to judge angels in eternity, the Bible says. You're going to judge fallen angels. You, me. Why are we living, speaking spirits? Why are we created that way? Because God wants us to create with our words. He wants you to take your words and speak life over them. He wants you to speak life over your children, life over your marriages, life over your bodies. Don't speak death over your bodies. Don't speak sickness over your bodies. Speak life over your bodies. Because that body houses a spirit. If the temple's corrupted, the spirit goes. But you want to be here for the long haul to do what he's called us to do. So your words frame your world as mine do. And you hear that a lot here. That's okay. We're learning. Call those things that be not as though they were. So we want this church to be an influential church. We want it to be a church that gets the gospel out. We want it to be a church that reveals God's love. So we speak it. We call it into being. Amen? And if you build his church, God will build your whatever. You build his church, God will build whatever's pressing and important in your life. We put him first. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. That's for me. That scripture is something that I've got to embrace every time I stand before this pulpit. I need to preach the word. I need to lovingly and patiently correct, rebuke, encourage the people with good teaching. Now, I can only do that if I'm in the Word of God myself. All right? And going forward, we're just about done. So what does it look like going forward? Well, a church building we can access 24/7. That's my heart. I'm calling it in and it will come. God's got something for us. How that looks, it doesn't matter. But we'll have something because I know the season here, as good as this is, and it's been a great blessing, but it's not going to be the same forever. This is a season, and the next part will be a season, and there'll be a season beyond that. But I know God has got something for this church going forward. Why? Because he wants a base of operation so we can do kingdom business. We need to launch operations against the enemy in a strategic stronghold called our headquarters. See, as in the natural, so in the spiritual. We want to have a base of operation to do business. And remember, we're in the army of the Lord, people. We're all soldiers for God. That's what we do. And that will include midweek Bible teachings, you know, studies, ministry, healing meetings. I want to see that. I've got that in my heart, to see people coming in who are sick and broken and demonized and get delivered. Why? God will back anything we do if we're willing to do it. All right? Regular healing meetings. Yeah. And God wants his people well. Ongoing prayer, making the church more accessible to mothers with young children. Obviously, all those things. We want to see a generation of young people raised up in the things of God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. So we rely on that for that to be delivered. God said he'll supply your need. We need a place. He'll supply it. Amen. 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 Oh, questions. There may be none. But can I say this? If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And that's Proverbs 29:18 of the Message Bible. And it's really put well. So, you know, and really what that's saying is my people perish for a lack of vision or a lack of knowledge. But I love the way that's written. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So we have a vision, people. We know that God's got a plan. So we just need to be strong in what God's doing for us in the days ahead. Because it's not about building a church. It's about building kingdom. It's about seeing lives transformed and changed because that's his heart. Amen.